why don't we start with you identifying yourself to make sure that I've got the right band here and not the wrong band.
I'm Steve from Long Wave.
Let's talk about the best place for pizza and the best deli. Let's just start right there.
I'll say Katz's Deli. I don't know, just Two Boots really is the only pizza place I really will go to.
Rock and roll is complicated. Can you update us on the band personnel and start there?
In our band, you mean?
Yeah, no, just any band.
Well, and usually in bands there's a drummer.
Oh boy, I can see where this interview is going to go.
Yeah, there's two guitar players and a singer. Sometimes they have a bass player, sometimes not recently.
But you're in your band.
In our band, we've recently lost our bass player and drummer. Yes, not so recent anymore. I guess it was about a little over a year ago now. Before we started recording this record.
If I was doing the NME, I'd say, has that changed the sound? But I'm not going to do that because I'm not the NME.
No. If you were the NME, you'd ask me if I thought I could take Jimmy from the Doves in a fight.
You gave up a small show in Los Angeles to open for the Doves here at the Fillmore. Hard to resist?
That was an easy decision.
Yeah, that was kind of... So how did that come about?
I don't really know. I guess a friend of ours is now the U.S. manager for the Doves. And I recently, outside, just today, we ran into him, and I didn't expect to see him. And he said that he was the one that hooked it up. This guy, Mark Cates, he put out an EP of ours in 2002 called Day Sleeper.
How dare you do an album in the Catskills instead of Brooklyn? Oy. How dare you? The Catskills!
Again, that was a very easy decision to make. If you've ever been to the Catskills, it's a very beautiful place. And this studio was an old mansion that was built by this family called the Pitcairn family. And they were the first family that provided, this whole family kind of provided the glass for all the original GM cars. The turn of the century, early part of the 1900s. And so as you can imagine, they made quite a fortune doing that. And one of their summer retreats is this mansion on top of one of the highest peaks in the Catskills. And it was somewhere they went to celebrate and have a good time in the summertime. But somewhere in like the 70s or something, it just kind of family started to not come there. So they were going to sell it. And about 10 years ago, it sat in the market for about 10 years. And about 10 years ago, this guy, Randall Wallace, found it. And he's a descendant of, I think, Wilson's vice president, someone's vice president in the U.S. here. So he's a musician, has a studio, had a bit of money, and decided he wanted to make this into a studio. And he bought the place, and he made the gigantic ballroom into a live room, and the gigantic living room to another live room. So there are two studios in this mansion, and it's just like when you're in the studio, because of the glass that I've mentioned, like they're like floor-to-ceiling windows that overlook these Catskill Mountains, and it's just incredible. And there's a pool, there's like tennis courts that were built by the people who did the US Open. It was very hard to leave. It became very easy to be spoiled up there. It was a beautiful place.
And this album, we'll get back to production and all that in a second, but this is an analog album. You literally went tape through an Eve board to tape the old fashioned way.
That's right. Yeah.
The real old fashioned way.
Proper.
Yes.
Yeah, I asked John as the producer, I asked him at one point if they were going to auto-tune my vocals or anything like that, and he kind of looked at me as though I were crazy and said, it's on tape. How am I going to do that?
Yeah, and you could do, John Leckie is who we're talking about, and you could do a lot worse than you have with album producers. That let's just get right there. I mean, so Dave Fridman did your last one. What even made you think you were going to do your next album in an apartment? Fridman, it's not like you've had exactly schlocky producers for these albums.
No, we've been very lucky. It's true. Shannon, our guitar player, saw something on the internet the other day. It said something like, obviously Longwave has had the greatest producers ever working on their records, which is, I'm not sure if that's true, but they're both really great.
Yeah, and I mean, the sound of the new album, it's funny because the Dave album, which I listened to both today, it definitely, I mean, it reeks of the band, but it also definitely, he's got his sound in there, a little bit of the distortion and the forward drums and the treble on the drums. And, you know, there is a sound, which is great.
Some of the stuff you think is synthesizers may be guitar.
Is it really? Well, that's even cooler.
Yeah. Shannon.
Yeah, there's some neat stuff on there. But, I mean, and I was going to say, actually, my next question was the drums and the guitars are very different sounding than the first album. There's a completely different sound to those two instruments.
Well, there's a different drummer, right away.
For starters.
Yeah, but John's idea was that you make the drums sound great, but maybe a little smaller, and then you can get more guitars, more vocal, and more dynamics out of the whole thing. So at first it was a little different, because Shannon and I like big drums. We like Dave Fribbin's stuff, but that was one difference. This is Jeff.
Jeff, would you like to join in on this interview? Feel, come on, Jeff. It's an interesting thing because, you know, you discover bands at different moments in time, and I did come to you later than I normally would, because some bands you discover right away and others you don't. And when the record company called me up and said, you know, Long Wave's opening for the Doves, you know, you've got to interview this band, I immediately went back, and that's where I learned everything I needed to learn. But you sound more, the band sounds, this is a controversial question, but I think I'm going to go down the right road here. The band sounds more like the British Invasion than most of the new British Invasion bands.
I have nothing to say to that. I guess so. We have a British producer.
Is there something you definitely set out to do with this album? Were you scared of the official side? I mean, I know this is on big record companies, the quote, sophomore album, right?
Oh, yeah.
Were you scared of the sophomore slump?
No, because I guess because we're hard-headed.
Because you didn't care.
Yeah, we were really, really excited about the songs, and it was very difficult to lose half the band, as I mentioned earlier, and so just to be able to do it, and the fact that we were going to do it on time, nothing was going to change. There's nothing we could do but make the record that we made, you know what I mean? Luckily, our record label was very good and liked the songs that we had and didn't ask us to go in and redo any more or to change anything necessarily. We recorded like 16 or 17 songs. We ended up finishing 14, I think. There were a couple that didn't make it, just because they weren't as good or weren't as realized. But there's one that's a secret track at the end of the record. I don't know if it's on the one you have.
I have the advance. We're going to have to check that out.
Don't think you have it then. It's called The Sea Monster, and it's like 2.5 minutes of just noise, basically. And we played
excellent.
We played that to our A&R guy, and we're like, here you go. Here's what we're working on. And he
scared the living shite out of him.
He was pretty... He had an interesting reaction. He had a little clipboard, and he was all ready to write down like his
little sense of humor here.
His notes, and he just kind of didn't write... He wrote like Sea Monster. He wrote slash experimental.
On my advanced album cover, one band member is not holding an umbrella. Are you trying to do an Abbey Road thing on us?
Yeah, the umbrella thing, that's Paul. Yeah, Paul, our bass player. Paul plays bass in our band. Paul played bass in the Beatles, too. That's why we're doing that.
Ah.
No, it's... it.
Hello, Shannon.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. We're having an interview. You want to answer a few questions? You don't have to.
Yeah.
What is the most ridiculous band comparison so far? Who have you been compared to in reviews that just drives you nuts? Or just silly. He's looking over.
Every time people say that we're better than the Beatles, it's really difficult to just, you know, to accept. But we'll take it if you're gonna say that to us like you have, you know, that's great.
Been compared to the Traveling Wilburys.
Yeah.
Are you? Wait. No, come on.
I'm Roy.
Except for your shirt, maybe.
Yeah.
So you got the country and western shirt on now. You got the snaps, you know.
How would you describe your shirt?
Early Hawaii.
That's right.
I would say that's accurate.
And I do sing Hawaiian music on my show, so it works out.
You have ukulele? We have ukulele.
Okay. What country are you huge in that surprises you?
Japan. We're not huge there, though.
So it just surprises that they play you in Japan?
That's right.
But you're not huge. Is there a fan site, like at least with 10 fans? Yahoo Group?
We've been there, and we've been recognized on the street there, and when people give us presents, but I understand that happens to a lot of American bands.
Are you really tired? I'll just keep going down the non-diplomacy road. Are you tired of every single darn review saying, well, they got their break when they played with the Strokes at Maxwell's?
Yeah, but you're the only person that's ever mentioned Maxwell's. If they actually said that, I would think that...
No, a couple of people have said Maxwell's.
They have.
I've never heard that before. I've heard...
Really?
Yeah, I've heard the Strokes a million times, of course, but not the Maxwell's thing. I'm a little sick of it, but now it's going to become a little funny as it gets further and further on, because that was so long ago now.
Right, 1490. Yeah, you've been a band.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we get to really funny. This is my little trick. Have you ever been to allmusic.com?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you aware of how allmusic.com, how America categorizes bands... Allmusic.com gives you genre, styles, and moods. I would like to read you your genre, your styles, and your moods. I'm going to read them to you, and you get to read. He's grabbing it. He wants it. You can keep this afterwards as a souvenir of this special moment.
That's not drawing the fifth guy.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, drawing the fifth guy. But I want to read this to you and see how you react and see if you really want to own any of this. So your genre is rock. Oh, this is the first time I've seen this style. Maybe the Flaming Lips have this too. Your styles are dream pop and indie rock. And your moods are melancholy, amiable, good-natured. Good-natured, yearning, reflective, passionate, literate, searching, earnest, and bittersweet. What would you like to... Here you go.
No, I don't want it anymore.
What would you like to own?
I would like to own a 1955 Fender Telecaster.
Ba-doom, thank you very much. But America, I mean, but this is what it's come down to, is your music. You know, these are the moods, and if somebody types in, I'm looking for an album that's amiable, you know, this is what's going
to
happen.
I would like to own the city of San Francisco.
Okay, available. So the last thing we like to do is, it's our little invention, we call it, he's going to have so much fun making fun of me on this, we call it a musical sandwich, and here's what we do. We want two of your songs as the bread. I want you to put any music that you want, I always wanted to hear with your music, in between, and I will play it exactly, precisely, as you ask for it. I segue it live, and there is nothing we have not been able to find yet, and we've even gone to Japan.
Pick There's a Fire and the Depot song, the third song.
Do you agree with those? Are those okay?
Right.
Okay, good. So we have agreement here so far.
So go ahead.
Shannon wants Sound and Vision by David Bowie, which is easy to find.
Dude.
I think it'd be really interesting if you found some C-Ray music and played a C-Ray song. Anyone.
Okay.
C-Ray is that band that Jeff that you met earlier was in before our band.
Johnny 99 off of Nebraska.
Johnny 99 off of Nebraska. Okay, your turn. That's kind of dark, yes. Okay.
Teenage Fan Club, The Concept.
Crunch.
Falcon, Dry Land.
Overkill by Men at Work.
The Beatles, Flying. I'm gonna respond to that.
I'm gonna respond to that.
With Tom Waits, I Hope My Pony Knows the Way Home.
Oh, good.
All right, couple of more. Two more.
Good. God by John Lennon.
Wow. Okay, you get the closer right before your last song, so here we go.
Cheese and Onions by the Ruddles.